eine Chance sich bietet. Wir bleiben am Ball, wo Konkurrenzkampf wütet. Wir bleiben am Ball mit Coca-Cola und mit Fanta liegen wir in jedem Fall. Immer richtiger, wir bleiben am Ball.
My hope is in the unharvestable deep that shows with Eve the treasure of the stars to mournful kings behind their palace bars, and wanderers outworn and boys who weep a shattered bauble or above the sleep of headsmen and of men condemned to die pours out the moon's white mercy from on high, or hides with clement gloom the hours that creep like death worms to the grave. And I have ta'en from stormy seas by sunset glorified, or from the dawn of ashen wastes and wide, some light regathered from the lamps that wane, and promise of a translunary Spain where love's foregone and forfeit dreams abide. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ask Dr. Hal show is beginning. If all is working, the Ask Dr. Hal show live on radio. Yes, from the mystic cauldron where the vapors arise perpetually, this is the essence, the distilled and refined essence of the Ask Dr. Hal show, prepared particularly for our recondite audience. If there is anyone listening to this show, or if no one is listening, it will proceed. And yet, it is always helpful to stimulate what hope remains by informing me that all of the equipment is working and the show is proceeding. Such an effort, and yet at times effortless compared to other things. Here, on behalf of the Church of the Subgenius, is the introduction to a weekend full of performances for a recondite audience. Tonight, this show, and on the morrow, Relodio, which can be found by putting that odd word into a search bar, and then you can be guided to hear that strange production and view its marvelous video accompaniment by VJ Pussycat. And the next night, the Ask Dr. Hal Home Edition, our Halloween number, including a subgenius newsreel and monster footage rarely viewed, with other treats and dainties offered on the way, will go on the boards, metaphorically speaking. Yes, one, two, three. Three shows in a row. Three blows against the conspiracy. and the surrounding world, so indifferent and cold, so unfriendly and uncomprehending. As always, I hope anyone who may be listening could give me a signal on the old chatterbox whether this thing is happening as far as the receiver is concerned. Because the giver, your servant, Dr. Howell and Dowell, is here creating a different monstrous application of the same ingredients in the sacred October season of Halloween, coming up swiftly. Many of my listeners will already have made their plans. Others expect to improvise. But whatever they do or don't do, the year is turning, and All Hallows Eve is falling into place like the tumbrils of a lock, like the gears of a clock, like perhaps the great diurnal course of the planet itself around its onrushing parent star. We are all rushing through the cosmos at our orbital speed and at the speed of our great sun, which we follow. And as we travel an enormous circular path, we constantly come into different regions, which fortunately for us are mostly empty. And yet if one had the heart to do it, one could look up into the night sky and see where dinosaurs roamed the earth on the other side of our galaxy, the Milky Way, where we reside in the Sagittarius arm. Because time's infinitude, time's diuternity allows for even this. Neither philosophy nor literary criticism, nor religious or political propaganda, a presentation in a tradition that would include Pascal, La Rochefoucauld, Lichtenberg, Chamfort, and Leopardi. We aspire to create sound in silence, but also to silence itself, or the closest equivalent, which is the aphorism, the last great expression of the yet-in-sin mind, the subgeniuses, descendants of those strange beings, the Yetis, or Nephilim, as they are described in the book of Genesis in the Christian Bible. According to our sacred lore, eons ago, in an unrecorded prehistoric era, these creatures came in unto the daughters of men and produced a hybrid species. We call these quasi-human beings subgeniuses. They do not participate wholly and full-bloodedly in the ruck of cant, in the flow of already received ideas to which they return for comfort. No, for this type of intellectual comfort, we turn to subgenius writings, literature, legendary, and lore. Do we want to convert the humans to being subgeniuses? No. We only want to find out the subgeniuses and inform them that the rest of us are here. To repeat to yourself 1,000 times a day, nothing on earth has any worth. To keep finding yourself at the same point, to circle stupidly as a spinning top eternally, for there is no progression in the notion of universal vanity, nor conclusion. And as far as we venture in such ruminations, our knowledge makes no gain. It is in its present state as rich and as void as at its point of departure. It is a surcease within the incurable, a disease, a leprosy of the mind, a revelation by stupor, if you like. A simple-minded person, a child of nature, an idiot, let us say, who has experienced an illumination and grown used to it with no means of leaving it behind, of recovering his or her vague and comfortable condition, such is the state of the human who finds himself or herself committed, in spite of herself or himself, to the perception of universal futility. Abandoned by nights, virtually a victim of a lucidity which smothers, what is this person to do with this day which never manages to end? When will the light stop shedding its beams, deadly to the memory of a night world anterior to all that was? How far away chaos is, restful and calm, the seething chaos dating from before the terrible creation, or sweeter still, the chaos of mental nothingness. And yet, we dare to disturb it in our way. We are the subgeniuses. A central reason the Church of the Subgenius is not a breakaway civilization, you might wonder about that. This reason is that while we do have advanced ancient technology conferred on us by literal extraterrestrials, Yetikin keepers of Atlantean crystal shards, mechanical elves and their ghosts, etc., etc., we are willing to share it with anyone for a fee. I, Dr. Howlandowl, dislike to be preached at while I'm pontificating. Most people have such a weak conception of this powerhouse known as freedom of religion. Being a subgenius is to embrace that freedom ultimately, wholly, full-bloodedly. Most people can't handle that much freedom. Can you? I can. When you pray, what assurances do you have that only the deities and intercessors you prefer are receiving that prayer? If you can't even tell who reads your online traffic, how can you tell who reads your spiritual traffic? Just you wait until unscrupulous and hungry deities start inserting advertisements in your prayers. Perhaps this is one of them. We don't quite know what Bob does with the canisters of souls we lease to him, but it's probably okay. Okay for him, probably. Forcing others to a cause, as the pink world does, is sadistic. If you can convince other people that several words can be used interchangeably, when in the past they could not, then you take away much of their ability to disagree with you. Doesn't anyone read the works of George Orwell anymore? What do they teach them in these schools? Imagine if owner of a fishing license and fisher were considered interchangeable. If that happened, then anyone who was fishing could say they also had a fishing license. Fishing illegally for endangered animals? Fishing with dynamite? Who cares? They are an owner of a fishing license, so it's okay. What do you have against someone who is an owner of a fishing license, after all? The Church of the Subgenius has a clear and immutable definition for who is a member, one who has paid for membership. And it's a reasonable fee, perhaps a slight difficulty in passing it, like a blocky stool, but once it is over, then you are secure in your place in the church, your stateroom on the pleasure saucers of the sex goddesses. Not who likes Subgenius or who is a good person. Only he or she who has paid up. I am happy to count myself among that number. If you paid years ago, you paid less. It is natural that the price should suffer a slight increase. Consider it rent for the time you remain on planet Earth before that too is swept away and emptied into the wastebasket of the cosmos. From the mountains of Tibet to the shopping malls of Middle America, from the grassy knoll to the hollow earth, from the asylum to the high schools, from mutants rising to Babylon falling, from Dobbstown to your town, one face, one pipe, one brow, one fist, one church, $1, one bob, all one, dilute, dilute. He is so against it, he must really be for it. You've heard that analysis before. But the ones who say opposites are true never apply the rule to themselves. If they did, they'd be the least insightful analysts, because they speak as if they're the most insightful. And the most insightful of all analysts. What chicanery. What charlatanry. The way out of these contradictions? Religion. It doesn't have to be consistent, or make sense, or even be possible. I don't practice what I preach because I'm not the kind of man I'm preaching to, said J.R. Bob Dobbs famously. The next time you hear someone talk about extremists, fundamentalists, and so on, ask them, what is a moderate version of that like? If they can't answer, then they think every instance of that thing is extreme fundamentalist. Their center is themselves, and maybe that's fine for them. If you're not them, if you're you, guess where you'll be categorized soon enough. No half measures. Go all the way with Bob today. For I say unto you that because we get plenty of chuckles, plenty of yuck, yuck, yucks out of this, our special doctrine and indoctrination, is no reason to disbelieve in the efficacy of our methodology. We could not be joking unless we had something to joke about. Because something is approached humorously does not mean it does not exist. It means that there is someone who can bear to examine it. That person is myself, and it could be you. Therefore, on this occasion, I say unto you, it is time. Time and a half. The time and a half time, which is your time. Time to listen to and understand the ravings of mad Subgenius philosophy. Because this is the only way through that narrowing aperture, that ever tinier needle's eye. Of course, these days they have self-threading needles, and how irritating that is. I have trouble getting actual needles. Oh yes, they thread themselves, but then when you're trying to use them, they unthread themselves. Are people too lazy or too unwilling to put out a minimum of effort to thread a needle? Is there any hope for these sloths? I tend to doubt it. What they need to do is to relax, put away their silly self-threading needles, and listen to the babbling current of subgenius philosophy.
In the next 13 or 14 minutes, something good, good, good is coming your way. So don't leave this radio station. Let's have a good time together. He's all I need.
And if the very door of the day of the wrath of God is at hand, and that if you plan to get saved, you'd better do it now.
In the Simple Lodge of the Church of the Subgenius of Little Rock, and before we begin this sacred spouting, I think that we should all bow our heads and let's all have a minute of noise.
Noise! The hellish sounds of Bedlam and Belltown.
We're going to take charge of that helm right now. I send right now power, the very glory of God into that home. I move back the foul spirits of opposition, the lying spirits, the binding spirits. I speak authority.
Don't ask any questions. Just do as I say. All right?
Copyright 1981 by the Subgenius Foundation.
But it is important, having created a monster, to acknowledge that being. Do not create a religion and then walk away from it. Do not lock it in a drawer. Exercise it. For rejected, the monster becomes truly monstrous indeed. This was the discovery made by Victor Frankenstein.
What is the purpose of the church?
Victor Frankenstein denied himself slack, but he thought he would achieve it with his stupendous scientific achievement.
Does what it has done for us.
Where he lost it was in denying his creation, which became one of the most famous monsters of all time. The Frankenstein Monster. He doesn't even have a name. They just call him the monster, or they call him Frankenstein, which they did very shortly after he appeared. The confusion of the human with his monstrous and disavowed creation. But what few of the critics recognize is that Mary Shelley, the author, because I don't believe that Percy Shelley actually wrote the book, as some sexist idiots maintain. Mary understood that when you give birth to something, you're responsible for it. You can't flee in horror. You can't let it roam through the woods, being pelted by rocks, by peasants. No. Just think of what that monster could have done if trained and educated, given good food and a warm place to live instead of being out in the raging storm, the thunder and lightning, which was an agent of its birth. Modern science is only beginning to realize that cosmic rays are involved in the discharge of lightning in the troposphere and higher. And it was these which Victor Frankenstein harnessed to bring his creation from the world of non-existence to ours. All he found was rejection, screaming people running this way and that way, farmers brandishing pitchforks. Frankenstein.
Give me your hand.
This woman thinks it's her husband whose hand she's gripping. It's a pity it turns out to be the hand of the monster. The one thing he can't stand is people screaming at him, so he puts a stop to that. Interestingly enough, the woman's husband, who did die in the conflagration, was the father of the little child that the monster accidentally killed in the first movie. The one being who was not afraid of him and who invited him to sit down and drop petals of flowers on the water. She herself, thought by the creature to be as beautiful as a petal, was also departed there and drowned. So they brought Frankenstein's body back to Castle Frankenstein, over the drawbridge, over the moat, and to the great door.
Oh, heaven, what is this?
Sorry, Mrs. Frankenstein. I'm afraid he's not himself. The creature threw him off a burning window.
Bite your tongue off. We don't believe in ghosts.
Nobody'd believe me. Right? I'll wash my hands of it.
You should have believed her.
Murdered in the beds for all of me.
Why don't you listen to this person? Yes, the monster was brought from an unliving to a living state. Not from the dead, because it had never lived. It had been manufactured by Victor or Henry in the movie. And so it was that Henry himself emerged from the sleep of death, terrifying the onlookers. But he was not allowed to rest for long, since he was visited by the renegade natural philosopher Dr. Pretorius.
Let me in, my good woman. I know the young Baron Frankenstein is at home.
He's sick. He's in his bed, where all decent folks would be at this time of night.
Tell him that Dr. Pretorius is here on a secret matter of grave importance.
Must see
him alone tonight.
Dr. Pretorius? Pretorius?
That's right.
What was the name?
Dr. Pretorius.
There's no such name. Now you stay there.
Who's there?
It's Minnie, m'lady.
Oh, come in.
Such a petulant fellow, Frankenstein.
Dr. Pretorius. says he wants to see the master. Most insistent.
Pretorius.
He's a very queer-looking old gentleman, sir. And must see you on a secret grave matter, he said. Tonight. Alone.
Bring him in.
Henry, who is this man?
Dr. Pretorius.
Yes, Pretorius, who was a similar experimenter. He created homunculi, tiny humans, which he grew from seed. Like certain fungi or other strange inhabitants of the vegetal kingdom. Only recently has science discovered that funguses apparently think and can recognize objects. When you see a mushroom, you're seeing the tiniest bit that sticks above the surface. The mycelium is an intricate net like a set of nerves underground, spreading from plant to plant. The latest issue of Science News has an interesting article about that. But out in the world, things are beautiful. The waters flow. Beautiful maidens are bathing in the stream. What a lovely day. The clouds high and the sun in the sky. The monster only wants to participate. Unfortunately, he's a monster. Nobody likes him. Bah! Those sheep echo the opinion of humanity. Those Agnus Dei, those lambs of God, do not behave in a godly manner or a charitable one. Stop that incessant screaming. There's only one way for the monster to make the screaming stop. Oh, this is painful. So painful. Haven't we all been where the monster is now? Rejected, misunderstood, and shot. Little does that fool with the gun know that this monster cannot die. But soon, the peasants get together and they capture the creature. And in a mock parody of the crucifixion, they fasten him to a pole and carry him to the deepest dungeon in the village of Frankenstein. Beneath the castle keep. And those incessant barking hounds. Well, while this sad story of the monster and his challenges plays out, I, Dr. Howland Owl, would like to remind this audience that tomorrow, Reloadio will occur at the usual time, and I may be able to persuade Bishop Joey of the First Church of the Last Laugh to join us, since he's forcing me out of bed at the unseemly early hour of 11 a.m. Thus, I will lose sleep after being up during this show. But then, Later, after a pre-show meeting for my show on Sunday, I will travel to Relodio's studios, designed by K-Rob, and there we shall go as long as possible if I don't fall asleep from exhaustion. Then the next day, the Ask Dr. Hal Show Home Edition will occur, as it always does, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And we have a Subgenius newsreel, monster footage rarely seen, and the Dust Bowl Fairies performing. Oh, we have a full show for you. But if you are interested in participating, other than watching this free show, then for a slight premium, I, Dr. Howland Owl, will answer your questions. And make sure that you join us in the chat room after the show. I would like to see your face and address my remarks to you in person. Monster is either
just an escaped lunatic. Merely wanted someone to handle it, that's all. Quite harmless.
Meddlesome Burgermaster. Loves of old, I sought for splendors fabulous and far. The curls of one were black Circean petals of poppies blown by night in the sad gardens of a sinful star. Her eyes were mystic metals wrought with a secret told by lost archangels in their flight to women of the worlds that stray on the red verges of the nether day. Her voice was like a lulling music blown at sunset from an isle of spells across a lake of rosy nenuphar, and yet therein betimes I caught the chill and crystal bells that grieved and grieved alone above the fallen din of cities drowsed with revelry and sin. Is there anybody there? Said the traveler, knocking on the moonlit door. And his horse, in the silence, cropped the grasses of the forest's ferny floor. And a bird flew up out of the turret above the traveler's head. So he smote upon the door again a second time. Is there anybody there? He said. But no one descended to the traveler. No head from the leaf-fringed sill leaned over and looked into his gray eyes where he stood, perplexed and still, but only a host of phantom listeners that dwelt in the old house then stood listening in the shadowiness of the moonlight to that voice from the world of men, stood thronging the faint moonbeams on the dark stair that goes down to the empty hall, hearkening in an air stirred and shaken by the lonely traveler's call. And he felt in his heart their strangeness, their stillness answering his cry while his horse moved, cropping the dark turf neath the starred and leafy sky. For he suddenly smote on the door again, even louder, and lifted his head. "Tell them I came, and no one answered, that I kept my word," he said. Never the least stir made the listeners, though every word he spake fell echoing through the stillness of that dark house from the one man left awake. Aye, they heard his foot upon the stirrup and the sound of iron on stone, and how the silence surged softly backwards when the plunging hoofs were gone.
Very popular in the city.
From Box Squatch, Washington.
Yes.
Nelson would be settled out of court.
Nothing with Nelson can ever be settled, either in or out of court.
The stupid people.
The stupid clown.
Hey, wait, we can't be showing this.
Be a clown, be a clown, be a clown.
Radio world.
Or don't be.
Crayfish, you must have thought that was worth the... the light. Who killed the light? It's dark.
Being a crayfish might stick in your craw, fish. Be satisfied with your position in the evolutionary scale.
Relying on visuals, we suggest you just turn on your TV. We describe the fun pictures we get to see.
We've been suffering from audiovisual aids, but perhaps we could be cured. Here's another scene from the
film.
And look, a book.
A captain colonel.
There's the famous Doc Stock, the famous stage, and the famous
person.
Hello.
Pretty place.
Hello.
Bye.
Hello.
You're all
Hello.
Having fun there.
This matter of timing is absolutely
you called the wrong place.
J.R. Bob Dobbs shall be thy salesman, most excellent and persuasive. He will shimmer, he will flutter, he will reach around. The cause of each disease is its cure when avoided with right knowledge. Therefore, gentle reader, stand admonished with glee. Gibber with silent rage. Send $1 to him that will receive it. An admirable companion to nature, yet outside it, the Dobbs head restores what was stored and raises what was raised. $1.
You just might be so messed up that you don't even know who Bob is.
Yes,
after all this radio show,
I admit you have the superficial.
Of course, there's some considerable way.
Big yawn.
It's so much easier to just let that way to this.
The Subgenius Hour of Slack.
Bob. bam, bam, bam.
From PR News in Washington, I'm doping and making one-sided demands of President Trump and betraying the spirit of last month's insider attack in southern Afghanistan. Trump crashed early on, but he got back up, demanding Korean spy cam pornography. Korea says its porn beats Sweden, Russia, and Croatia. The statement also says Pyongyang still has faith in PR. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says found in his bloodstream. British Prime Minister Theresa May says she now has signs reading my porn. This is PR News in Washington.
Ditty Peanuts was by the Rudy Schwartz Project, didn't you? Nope. It was Uncle Dr. Onan Canavite. And before that, Lemur. This is the Rudy Schwartz Project.
Visiting from Triangulum when she went to see my uncle in Saskatchewan. She tried to explain, it made me feel kind of dumb, why she came to see my uncle in Saskatchewan. Her planet had a shortage of carbon-based food. They needed amino acids, and though it seemed rude,
we'll be right back.
find out this, whoever, just get my first good look at it, and it happens to be,
I'm sitting here at this microphone, I got a joke.
Life, whatever you want to call
it. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom? Because the pee is silent.
Attack.
Then while I'm sitting,
nobody else in the process of mine to record this.
I might as well read from.
Couldn't tell you how.
It's a letter I got from Reverend Abson.
Before I can get to that.
Strangely, going by a very weird name, email. Anyways, Reverend Abson. We haven't seen him in a while. I married him and his wife together at one next day. And he was saying, can replacement church membership cards be purchased? How much are they? I'm goddamn sick and tired of mother Christian cuss words getting in my face with their new world odor. White Christian nationalism has me down, and I feel that it's time to strike back with further psychological warfare. I had kind of reached a detente with the religio piece, but no. I figured the demise of any pretense of a Justice Department is a good enough reason to put in my request. I think my skull is about to implode. For that matter, do you sell Accelerate Global Warming stickers? The sooner these monkey boy parasites are off this rock, the better we'll all be. The demise of humanity may well be preferable to listening to the endless whine of Christian snowflakes and Trump-suckling nincompoops. Rush fucking Limbaugh got the Medal of Freedom! It's like real life has become an addendum to the dateline for dominance in Book of the Subjugious. I'd say you can't make this stuff up, but sci-fi did, and I'm including the works of Drummond, Stang, etc. in that genre. Dogs. Meanwhile, while I'm busy plotting and scheming the destruction of the normals, wringing my hands and scowling furiously, I need something to wave in their faces. For that matter, I haven't seen my all-purpose excuse document in about a zillion years either. It's in an envelope somewhere with the remainder of a bunch of Xerox stickers Rubber Rash and I made in 1991 and distributed liberally around the walls and halls of Northeast Ohio. I'm assuming that likely my only option is purchasing a new membership for any of several possible reasons. Don't worry, I'll still avoid events. The world profits or suffers more from the infliction of my presence among the normals than the congregation benefits from my presence at subgenius events. Actually, I wrote this guy back and said, oh, tell me where your address is. I'll send you a replacement pack. I didn't have any problem with it. I've never in my life been so thoroughly fed up with the arrogance, ignorance, denial, and stupidity of humanity, particularly the God botherers. I'm so angry I could shit a porcupine. Now, sometimes I literally weep for the probable loss of the future of mankind. I wish I was kidding. No, I do too. I'm much more sad about the animals and plants. My capacity for denial fled the day Trump announced he was running. It was a foregone conclusion that he was just the Trump-shaped guy to fill the Trump-shaped void in the White House predicted by science fiction and comics for most of the last century. The first 3 months after his election felt like I was walking through gelatin. I knew the nightmare was real. Yours, united against the man, a Reverend Abson, would-be proprietor of the bogus Ohio Institute of Neo-Surreal Absurdism and Neo-Absurd Surrealism. Have a good week. P.S. This is a long P.S. When are the dummies going to ask why Jesus isn't back yet? I mean, has it even occurred to them that maybe he's being detained or something? Maybe he needs their help. Maybe God Jr. got grounded by Daddy over the New Testament. Maybe Mr. Satan has him in Savior jail or something. Or maybe it's a deadbeat dad sort of thing.
Yes, Reverend Stang. It might indeed be a deadbeat dad sort of thing. That is to say, the father of us all, the almighty spirit, the intimate will that moves and urges everything, may simply have abandoned his offspring, the humans, just as Victor Frankenstein foolishly rejected his marvelous creation and then blamed him for his reaction to being an outcast of all humanity. But what about the parasite? The parasite of poets. There can be no issue in a poet's life. It is from everything he has not undertaken, from all the moments fed on the inaccessible, that his power comes to him if he finds existence a disadvantage, his expressive faculties are thereby reinforced, his inspiration dilated. A biography is legitimate only if it focuses the elasticity of a fate, the sum of variables it contains. But the poet follows a line of fatality whose rigor nothing inflicts. Life belongs to dolts and stupid. And it is in order to fill out the life they have not had that we have invented the lives of the poets.
So K-Rob, this is K-Rob's show, by the way, on Facebook.
I wish K-Rob would visit us again.
And
he did last week.
That was really nice of Facebook to give you your own Facebook show.
Yeah.
Facebook, yeah, Facebook, giving us our own show.
Petitioned and petitioned. And not you know, for that, though.
Yeah, this.
But the if you petition, they put you in a little category. And
the Twitter shows, they're only 124 seconds long.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Yeah, but man.
Yeah. Now Musk is in the can for Trump.
Come on, wake up.
How repulsive.
Happy anniversary.
Well, there was a cassette.
51M, I think.
You haven't taken a
show
since 5.
I don't believe a word you've said.
Can you dig it?
I am the president.
Make no mistake about that.
It's quiet, peaceful. I feel dogmatism almost like it might be worth all.
I still am the president.
Walking around the White House with a tall glass of whiskey, mumbling in front of the portraits of the previous presidents. It took war criminal Hank Kissinger to talk Nixon down from his jag.
Every night before I fall asleep, I think that when I wake up, maybe it's all just a dream.
But even in your dreams, your political fortunes haunt you.
Whole new gaps in synapse responses of the non-listeners.
Now we have the ghost of Pete Goldie in our system, the science advisor for the old live Ask Dr. Hal show. Before each show, Dr. Goldie would come out and give a lengthy report on the cosmos, on doings in the great surrounding universe. And for this, he would be reviled and mocked by show monster Chicken John.
Not the president, after all.
55 Baker 1.
Maybe I really have to get up tomorrow to go to an underground comic book fair with Bishop Joey when what I want to do is sleep. Sleep after this ordeal.
You'll hear your name. You'll see.
The news is all bad.
Bad.
All the networks are all